You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You better watch. So I know we talked about this at 2, but I love it. The Kansas City Star just released 5 things you did not know about the Laverne and Shirley song now that we've heard of the passing of Penny Marshall.
We're going to do it.
Okay, what do we not know?
Okay. It was written by Charles Fox and Norman Gimbel. They knew nothing about the characters when they wrote it. All we knew about them, because there wasn't even a pilot script yet, was they were blue-collar workers and worked in a brewery in Milwaukee, and they had hopes and dreams. So we first wrote the song hoping our dreams will come true, and then we played it for the producers, and they said, no. These girls are going to take the bull by the horns. They're going to make life happen.
Making our dreams come
true. Two strong-minded girls. So they switched the lyrics, Will Starrett, from hoping our dreams will come true to making our dreams come true.
Smart.
It was the only hit by the woman who sang it. Singer Cindy Greco achieved fleeting fame when she sang the theme song. They probably paid her $50 to do it. It was released as a single and hit the top 40 in July of 1976. I was wondering how old I would have been when that show was on.
2.
Until when? 8 or 9.
Ran to the early 80s, I think.
I remember that show.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. She was on American Bandstand performing that song.
That's funny. But the show went into syndication. I mean, that was the thing. We all grew up with all the shows.
Yeah. Yes.
From before us.
God, I remember that song.
Now there's not, because there's programming for every second of every day.
The words you didn't know are Yiddish. Shlemiel, shlemazel are 2 Yiddish terms often used in a comical but sometimes biting sense of humor.
It ended in 1983, by the way.
A shlemiel is an inept, clumsy person, and a shlemazel is a very unlucky person. As for Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated...
Isn't Haas and Pfeffer that dish made with rabbit?
He says it's a German stew. Yes.
It's a pepper. It translates into pepper rabbit.
Yes.
Okay.
I have no idea why it was part of this ditty, except that when we put it all together, you cannot help but laugh at how it sounds. Shlemiel, shlemazel, Hop and Pfeffer Incorporated.
Haas and Pfeffer.
We're going to do it. Haas and Pepper?
Haas and Pfeffer.
Oh, like Pfeiffer. Haas and Pfeffer.
Pfeffer is German for pepper.
Then finally, 5, the Violent Femmes recently covered the song.
Now that's funny.
In September, the Killers and Violent Femmes opened their concert in downtown Milwaukee with that show. It's a pretty big deal back in Milwaukee, where Laverne and Shirley was set.
Ran for a good strong 7 seasons, 8 seasons.
And Cindy Williams is still living, correct?
Yes. I think so. I'll double check it. Let's see. Cindy Williams is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what else she's ever been on before.
71.
How are they so old? When did that happen?
We've been on this planet a little longer than you think. Cindy was in American Graffiti. I'm really struggling to find anything else.
Yeah, I think obviously Penny Marshall went on and directed and did all of these other things.
Mm-hmm. Cindy Williams moved into theater later.
Okay.
Good for her. She looks good. How are
they? I wonder who else is still alive from that show.
How do I still remember her last name was Feeney? Like, I remember Shirley Feeney.
Neighbor Lenny is still alive. You remember him, right?
Oh, he's been in all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Lenny's still alive. Let's see here. David Lander, who played Squiggy, is still alive. Let's see who else is still
alive. The best thing about those two was that it was the timing jokes, because they would be sitting there talking about something, and, you know, some animal ate this thing. I'm like, what kind of disgusting, horrible rat would do that? And then the door would open, and he'd go, hello.
Yes, that's right.
It was always right on key.
God,
man.
My dad loved him.
Hello. Frank Fazio is dead.
The landlord, Sonny, is alive.
Okay. So most everybody on the show is still alive.
When you look up the most memorable lines, a lot of them are Squiggy going, hello. God, I'd totally forgotten about that.
Hang on. Let me see if I can get some of that. Gotta go to YouTube.
If you look. He also said, "You people make me stink." God, we are so old. There are people in their cars, like age 35, going, "What?"
Well, it's their loss, not mine.
You talking about?
No, that's their loss. It's not mine. I remember Laverne and Shirley. I grew up with Laverne and Shirley, and I still love Laverne and Shirley.
There was only three channels, so we all watched one of three shows. Period. But. Like I said, the daytime programming was all the old shows in syndication.
Yeah, that's how you and I got to get into the Munsters. And,
right, and some of that still exists, I guess. Like, it's like Friends is on and stuff. But
oh my God!
But mostly if like kids stay home sick from school now,
dude, they're on their phone.
They're not
on
watching
TV.
Price is Right and Gilligan's Island.
No, apparently, there's some episode where Laverne is pregnant, and Lenny says, "Me and Squiggy was talking, and we decided that you kid ought to have a last name." She goes, "Huh?" He says, "On account of if he don't, the poor little guy's never going to get any mail." Then he says, "So me and Squiggy flipped a coin to see which one of us was going to volunteer to be your husband." And she says, "Oh, and you lost?" He said, "No, I won. Now listen to this. I'm going to make a good living. Plus, I'll practically never hit you or nothing." Like,
wow.
It was so, like, you could never, ever say the stuff they said back then today. I'm sure that got a laugh. People probably actually laughed out loud with the laugh track.
Here we go. Here's Squiggy.
Let's not let anything else spoil this evening.
Hello.
Hello.
If that keeps running, they'll be coming through here like termites.
Hello.
Anything could crawl in right off the street.
Hello.
Come on, Bobby. We're going to miss those creepy monsters.
Hello.
Most dancing puppet acts are just a couple of dummies on strings.
Hello.
Oh, what are you going to do next? Sell them our garbage or other smelly leftovers?
Hello.
See, I love that bit.
Hello.
I'm looking back. It's a lot of sexist jokes. It's a lot of sexist jokes.
Wait.
The apartment's crawling with grime and grease.
Hello.
The only thing we're missing is the manger and all the little furry beasts.
Hello.
Anyone who would get in the ring with Carmine is going to look like the biggest fool in the world.
Hello.
Carmine. That was her boyfriend.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It's so bad.
Oh, I hope I never see another weenie again.
Hello.
You know, sitting here listening to this, I've just realized how almost... I don't know, offensively stereotypical this show would be considered when it comes to people from New York. It's this terrible accent, uneducated speech. Her boyfriend's a boxer. They work in either a brewery or a diner. Like, you know, they live in a basement apartment right on a really busy street. Because I remember you could always see people's feet in their window.
That's totally right. You actually are freaking me out because you're remembering more about this than I am.
Well, he's a little bit
older.
But
you said that, I remember that.
Yeah, I grew up in front of the television. When you skip school, you go home, there's nothing to do but sit there and watch TV.
Looks more like a strange creature from another world.
But, but as a kid who grew up in... Dallas-Fort Worth, where the basements don't exist. Yeah. And when I would come here, I knew what a basement was, but most people's basements were unfinished or, you know, had wood paneling at best.
Right.
For me, watching a show where their apartment was in the basement and you could see people's feet out the window, that was bizarre to me. That blew my mind. It's like when I used to watch Sesame Street as a kid and I'm like, but no street looks like that anywhere. Yeah.
Well,
it does. Everywhere in New York, not where I live.
Desert Sun had turned them into raving sex fiends.
Hello.
That's funny. Congressman Kevin Yoder joins us next on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I know winter's here. I know it's been cold, but we've had some sunny days too. Call my folks at Seal Ones KC. They will come out and permanently protect and beautify all of those areas outside your house. They'll do your deck, your driveway, your patio, your fence, all of those things. But when it's really cold, the snow's on the ground, do you know they will also come and do the inside of your house too? Yep, your basement floor, your garage floor. For my business owners out there, they will come and seal any commercial building, and they'll do it over the weekend so you don't disrupt production or your business. They have sealed dealerships, reception areas, small and big businesses. They just finished a large dog kennel. They can permanently protect and seal all of those areas of your business as well. Get on their calendar now, 816-942-3927 today, 816-942-3927. Remember, go to sealonceKC.com, seal it and forget it. Mention Dana for 20% off, 816-942-3927 today.
I don't think so. I'm going back to Cali, Cali, Cali. I'm going back to Cali. I don't think so. Going back to Cali, styling, profiling.
We were talking on the phone the other night, I believe it was Sunday, and Congressman Kevin Yoder said, any chance I can get in there for a quick exit interview with you? So to Congressman Kevin Yoder, I say, hello!
I don't know how to follow that.
Don't act
I really don't know how
I
to
love
respond
that
to that.
More than their traffic.
Hello!
Hello! Try getting that out of your head. You're welcome.
You're a couple weeks from being unemployed.
I know.
What happened?
Well, I was released. I was let go. So no, I had an awesome run representing this district 8 years. I represented the county in Johnson County in the state legislature 8 years before that. So 16 years in elected office, and we fell a little short this one. But I'm extremely thankful and grateful for having had the chance to serve. It was an experience of a lifetime, and I will tell you, as a farm kid from rural Kansas, I honestly never thought I would ever walk in the halls of Congress. I didn't even go to Washington, D.C. until I was like 25, 26 years old. So to have the chance to serve in the U.S. Congress was a dream come true. So I'm just thankful.
Is there a relief, though? I can only imagine if you look at, you know, could you have gone on and worked, you know, 30 years or 40 years in that town? Is there a relief that you can now go do other things?
Well, I think people stay too long. I mean, we have people that have been there for decades and decades and decades just in the House. So I think it ought to be a something you do for a period of time, and then you get out and get some other experiences. I'm looking forward to being, you know, regular guy, neighbor who barbecues on Friday evenings and gets the chance to watch the Royals game. And I would tell you, when you're running for office, you have to always put that before everything, because you're constantly knowing that you have another election in 2 years and you're raising money and you're, and I will tell you, I was someone who gave it my all. A lot of people moved to Washington. I came home every single weekend.
Yeah, you were always back.
I'm on a round trip flight each week and I'm doing town halls and I'm going to every chicken dinner and everything you can do. And I loved it. No way am I complaining about it, but it was a lot of work, and I'm thankful and honored to do it, but I'm looking forward to some other, you know, things in life now.
Claire McCaskill from the Missouri side of the state line, U.S. Senator for a number of years, also defeated last month, said in an interview, I think it was with Michael Mahoney from Channel 9, I'll never run for office again. I don't ever want to have to ask people for their money again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the same way as far as asking people for their money?
I do think it's a little, you know, it's a challenge we have in politics with all the money that's involved. I mean, if anyone was watching TV or listening to radio or opening their mailbox, just the amount of ads that were run in my race, both by me, for me, against me, by my opponent, by different groups, there were way north of $10 million spent on one congressional race. So the public's exhausted with it too. And I know elected officials spending their afternoons, you know, calling people up, asking them for money, you'd prefer that they were spending that time working together and solving problems. I think it's just sort of part of the challenges of a democracy.
Henning the Roy Blunt song.
I don't even know what that is.
Someone had to do that, and then we had to listen to it.
Well, you haven't heard the Roy Blunt song?
I'm afraid to say I haven't, because then you're going to play it.
It was actually an anti Roy Blunt song, but people thought it was it was pro
good
Roy Blunt because it was so hokey and so, you know, like rural and just Roy Blunt lives in $1 million mansion.
It was a million six.
You ever been to Dodge City?
You ever seen Grown Man Naked?
Will you go back to DC in some capacity, do you think?
We're trying to figure that out. You know, I've gone back and forth for a number of years now. I was a lawyer before I was in politics, and so probably get my law license going again and look to, you know, join a firm or do something.
Yeah.
And we're still trying to figure it out. There's lots of opportunities out there. I want to figure out something where I can spend more time, you know, doing the things I like, something I really enjoy, more time with the family. I'd love to every once in a while, you know, go to the lake for the weekend or do something like that. And I will tell you, I've been in, you know, Overland Park Fall Festival Parade, for example. I've been in 15 of the last 16 of those parades. I've been in 9 straight Shawnee St. Patrick's Day parades. I gave everything I could to this. And if I was in elected office again someday, I would do that all over again. I'm not saying I'll never run. In politics, someone once told me you have to be the right rat at the right hole at the right time.
That's a great line.
You know, and if it all lines up and the stars align, I would be honored to serve in some capacity for my community. I love Kansas. I love this country. But in the meantime, it'd be nice to sort of be a regular citizen and do, you know, fun stuff.
Well, and you can watch CNN and yell at your elected leaders now and say, what's wrong with
them? Why can't they get this done?
But right. And we got to get to the news here in a second. And I know most of our Sunday night conversation was off the record. But one thing, and I hope I'm not violating a trust, I did tell you, and I believe it, the first time, because you were in Washington most weeks back on the weekends, mm-hmm. which is true.
Right.
But I told you on Sunday night, the first time you go to your kid's elementary school, mm-hmm. little choir concert or whatever, mm-hmm. is going to be the first time you sit down and you think to yourself, thank God I lost. Mm-hmm. So I'm being dead mm-hmm. serious with you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I there's certainly in everything in life, life has disappointments. It has ups and downs, right? Things just happen. And I think all of us try to find the meaning behind that. And we try to figure out the silver lining, you know, the open a, you know, close a door, open a window or whatever, however that saying goes. Like, I think that there are certainly other things you can do to contribute to your country. You don't have to be the U.S. congressman to help be a good neighbor, be a good steward. There are other ways to lead. And I certainly wish my successor, Sharice Davids, lots of luck. And I know there are great challenges going forward, and I hope that this country can come together and solve them. I certainly have tried to do my best at being a peacemaker in Washington, trying to get us to work together. And by the way, we're still working. I'll go back to D.C. in the morning. We are, you know, when you leave
you
Congress.
You can't just drop the mic and
no,
walk out.
Well, some have, but I didn't. And we're still writing this this Homeland Security bill, you know, this whole wall debate. I'm involved in all that.
Do you even have an office?
No office. No office here. No office in D.C. I'm like working out of a Starbucks on a laptop. But I promised my constituents I would work to them to the very end. This has been a job that I have loved. And I'm going to cherish even the last few days here and a few weeks of it. So,
all right, stick around for a second. Okay. Congressman Kevin Yoder is joining us. What he called on our phone conversation Sunday night, his exit interview. We'll continue with that in just a moment. But first to the newsroom and Will Starrett.
A death on the road. More next.
Hey, you know, one of the most important things we do for our health is something we do every morning. Most of us do it every night. We should at least. Brushing our teeth. Yet most of us don't do it properly. Hey, it's Scott Parks to tell you about a revolutionary change in something you're all too familiar with. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. And Quip was designed, in fact, to make brushing your teeth simpler, more affordable, dare I say, enjoyable. Ordered Quip about 2 months ago. The second it arrived at our home, my youngest daughter said, "Ooh, Dad, can I have that?" So I gave it to my youngest daughter. Ordered another one for myself, and then one for my oldest daughter before she heads off to college next summer. Quip electric toothbrushes come with sensitive sonic vibrations, which are gentle enough on sensitive gums. But you know why they did that? Because most people brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. Not with Quip. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides. Backed by more than 20,000 dental professionals, Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/parks, right now you get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/parks.
3:32 in Kansas City. I'm Will Starrett. A 19-year-old woman in Overland Park is dead after her vehicle ran into a concrete wall last night. The woman was exiting the southbound lanes of 69 Highway at College Boulevard at the time. A federal judge agrees to delay former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's sentencing so he can continue cooperating with the Russia probe. U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan set a status conference for March instead. Attorneys for Flynn asked the judge to postpone the sentencing. The request came after Sullivan warned Flynn that if he were sentenced as scheduled today, he may not get all the credit for his cooperation with investigators. Penny Marshall, who starred in Laverne and Shirley before becoming one of the top-grossing female directors in Hollywood, has died. She was 75. Her publicist said Marshall died in Hollywood Hills, California yesterday from complications of diabetes. Traffic and weather together next. KMBZ News Time 333.
Dana Wright here for Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. Give Scott and Steve a call. Whether you're in the market to buy something sparkly, if you are looking to sell something sparkly, you know, I have a good friend of mine who lost her mother recently, has a whole bunch of estate jewelry that she's not sure what to do with. Some of it she's going to wear. Some of it she can't wear. She said, will they take it? Can they do something with it? Absolutely. Make a private appointment with Scott and Steve and see what they can do for you if you are looking to sell a bunch of your jewelry that you no longer will wear. And then have them make them something. Make you something while you're in there. You'll be so glad that you did. In fact, if you go to KriegelMeshDiamonds.com, click on gallery, look at some of the custom pieces they have done for KMBZ listeners. Just amazing stuff, unique stuff out there for you to wear. 913-660-9609, 913-660-9609, or KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Keeping dry weather in the forecast for Kansas City for the rest of today. Some clouds starting to work their way in, or high near 55 or just above, with a light south wind. Mainly cloudy as the night goes on, or low near 40, and we've got the clouds in place for tomorrow. System zipping our way. A couple of showers arriving for the afternoon, and scattered showers Wednesday evening into early Wednesday night. Our high on Wednesday, right around 55. We're back to a little sunshine for Thursday, the high 45. I'm staff meteorologist Jennifer Naramore, KMBZ Weather.
55 at your official weather station. KMBZ is now on radio.com. Download the app and take us anywhere you go. I'm Will Starrett, News 98.1 KMBZ.
This beat is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's tight. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky. It's tricky.
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 Tricky. It's tricky to rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky.
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 Tricky. I met this is exit interview. Thank you, by the way. Whether people loved you or did not love you, to stand up and put your name on a ballot, whether you're Kevin Yoder, whether you're Sharice Davids, whether you're Chris Kobach, Laura Kelly, doesn't matter. It takes guts. And so on behalf of the 3rd District, those who loved you, those who couldn't stand you, thank you for your service. And I mean it.
Well, it's been an honor. It's been and I've had a great time. And I just cannot thank people enough for, you know, when you win election all those years, people had to put their faith in you and they had to trust you. And that means a lot. And in politics these days, you know, that sort of thing is hard to come by. So I choose to be grateful for having served all these years as opposed to disappointed.
You don't seem upset.
No, I'm not. I mean, listen, we had a good run. And I'll tell you, I left it all out in the field. I have no regrets. There isn't anything I should have done that in my mind that I think, well, I should have done this differently. Right. I think I did what I said I was going to do. I was accessible. I worked hard. And what else? What more do you want? So I feel good about it. And I'm not bitter in any way. I invited, you know, I met with my successor. I met with Sharice and
office.
In my office. Yeah, I brought her in. She was in D.C. and I had her come in and we had a great conversation and I wished her well. And people don't do that enough these days, right? People leave bitter and you don't see that enough. And whether it's in the White House or in Congress, I think we have a job to lead by example. And people often ask me, like, how can we come together as a country? And I say, well, the best I can do is use my time to lead by example and show people that Republicans and Democrats can still be friends.
Stay off Twitter.
Right. Well, and stay off social media. But you guys do it every day. You have different political views. And I think we're all trying to show. I did a lot of stuff with Emmanuel Cleaver over the years. I think we all need
to. You guys used to fly back together.
We fly back together. We did town hall meetings together. And I think the whole point is that we are Americans first and we're Republicans and Democrats second.
Did Cleaver call you after the election?
I saw him on the House floor that next week. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was a tough spot for him because he and I are friends. But in this day and age, it's almost impossible for a Democrat to support a Republican. And I never asked him to because I didn't want to put him in that position. I didn't want to make him have to choose our friendship or our politics. But he never got involved. He didn't endorse my opponent either, which I thought was a very nice gesture. He was asked too many times, and he did not.
What did you and Sharice Davids talk about in your office? Did you get along? Do you
like
her?
Yeah, we had a wonderful conversation. I told her that I wished her well, and we talked about the transition, and she shared, you know, some of the things she was learning, and I said I had those same experiences when I started, and we sort of, you know, she wanted to do the same job I wanted to do, and so I don't blame her for wanting to serve the country. I wanted to serve the country too, and
Do you like her? I mean, do you get along?
Yeah, I've only met her twice, right? Okay. That was the second time I'd ever met her. But I tend to be a very non-grudge-holding person.
It's just such a strange business to be
in. I've never believed in burning bridges. I just feel like we ought to try to be friends with anybody. And I don't know.
How long did you guys meet?
Like 45 minutes.
And then at 45 minutes, did you just look at her go, now get out! Get out of my office!
For the last time, my office. Then it's yours.
Does she get your office? Or how does that work?
No, she'll go back down to the bottom of the pecking order. Right. So the offices are all issued by seniority. So I was actually getting some seniority there. You know,
I went to your office. You had a little shower in the back.
No, I did not have a shower in the back. But I mean, I came into Congress at 34. I was one of the youngest people ever to go onto the Appropriations Committee. I'm leaving, chairing the Homeland Security Appropriations Committee. I'm the co-chair of the Cancer Caucus. I'm the co-chair of the Beef Caucus, the Deaf Caucus. I'm leading a lot of different groups. The pre-kindergarten caucus, I'm the co-chair of that. So there's a lot of different things that I've worked on over the years, medical research. I feel good about it. So I think it's a job well done. And I have no regrets.
We were talking the other day, kind of joking, but kind of not joking. Why, with all of the very important things that everyone fights about in Washington, and those are important things, guns and all that stuff, why can you not come together more often on things everyone can support or agree on, like pre-K? That's one of them. That's not Republican or Democrat.
Right. Medical research, cures for diseases.
Medical research, pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't everyone want cheaper prescriptions? Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend who went last week, went to a cardiologist. They said, you need this medication. It was going to be $450 a month. She said, I'd rather have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this. I don't know why it came up a couple weeks ago. That was one of them. And the telemarketing calls that we keep getting to our phones. And Scott said, why in Washington is it just that there's so much to do and so much red tape that we don't see more of these little victories with just simple things that everyone is tired of?
Right.
Like my phone ringing and they say it's in Nevada. And I'm like, there's no way you're calling me from Nevada.
Yes, that was actually one that was a classic example of one that came up a couple of weeks ago. I have been, and I know everybody else has been as well, 3 to 4 calls per day.
Mm-hmm.
From KCK, from Nevada, Missouri.
They look local.
Yeah, they spoofed the
Lewisburg,
number.
Kansas. Yeah. And then I pick it up and I'm like thinking, well, this must be like, one of my advertisers or it's somebody important because it's local. Hello, would you like to get forgiveness for your student loan? I've never had a student loan. Why don't you guys pass a bill that makes that illegal?
Well, I think in some ways it may be illegal. And these are folks that are sometimes outside of the country that are spoofing American numbers.
Yeah.
Right. And
it's
so,
whack-a-mole.
I mean, I would get things, like the IRS wants to talk to you about a debt you have. People have probably gotten that before. And I got one of those literally the day when the IRS commissioner was testifying before my committee. And I'm like, why am I getting these things? He's like, look, we're trying to track them down, too. We don't want people getting that. We can't find these people because they're hidden around the globe. And so I think it's working with the industry to improve the technology. Obviously, cell phone companies don't want this happening either. Like nobody's for it other than the perpetrators. I hate it as well, and it makes it so none of us ever want to answer our telephone, our cell phone, because
that's so true,
right? And if we knew it wasn't that, we go, oh, this must be someone that's calling me that I don't know their number,
right?
It, you never want to take that risk because you're going to get stuck. So you almost don't answer the phone unless you know who it is, right? In fact, if I call somebody who I don't think my cell phone's in their phone, I will text them first and say, hey, it's Kevin Yoder. I'm just going to give you a call if you're around, and then they know it's me,
right?
Because otherwise, who's going to answer it
if it comes from unknown? That's a great point.
Yeah, or if it just comes from a number that they don't have
a
in their
local
phone
number
book,
that
that's
they
not
don't
in
know.
Their phone book, right? Because they've been burnt by that too many times. So I will say to your question, there are hundreds and hundreds of bills that have passed the House in a bipartisan fashion, many, many of which, probably more than half of which, passed unanimously, that never even get a hearing in the Senate.
Why?
Because the Senate has all these old arcane rules. One senator can drag something out for 3 days, and they've got the filibuster, and they've got all the appointments. And so the Senate is a graveyard where all bills go to die. And when I explain that to my constituents, they say, well, look, Republicans have the House and the Senate and the presidency. Why can't you do it all? And the Senate is like the ultimate bottleneck. You have to have Chuck Schumer's got to agree. And if he doesn't have to agree, then you have to have 3 days worth of time. And it's just a mess. So, and those are the things we all agree on.
Now, those are what the things
those
you
are the
agree
easy
on.
Things, right? Not to mention immigration reform, healthcare reform, all these big issues that are out there that we should be working on, and we are working on. but it's just very difficult to get them through the process.
Does the government shut down on Friday night?
I don't think so. I think there'll be some sort of short-term measure. But it's
that's the
still,
classic kick in the can down the
that.
Road stuff you guys
that.
Always talk about.
You know, they run us to the edge of the cliff, and then they say, vote for this or government's going to shut down. And we get stuck with a bad choice of voting for a short-term bill that kicks the can down the road or government shutdown. I've got my bill pretty much where we need it to be if I can get them to put it on the floor. Because there are 7 bills that represent different areas of the federal government that have to pass before Friday that are different parts of federal spending. One of them is Homeland Security. So I'm waiting. I've got everything pretty much written in it other than I need a number on what's going to go onto border wall, the border fence, right? And so until that gets sorted out, we just sit here. Yeah. It's frustrating.
Why don't you tell them if they don't put your bill on the floor, you're going to take your job and go home?
Well, that's right. I think it's going to happen anyway. So, I gave a farewell speech last week, and so I don't even know that I'll speak on the floor again. It's just the last few days, and we had a little farewell open house here in the district yesterday. So we're all but packed up and ready to wrap it up and ready for the holidays. And
any regrets?
Honestly, I don't really have any regrets. I feel really good about the votes we took, about the issues I championed. Sometimes you're just it's just not your year. And I will tell you one cute anecdote, though. So I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old little girl. And, of course, my wife, Brooke, who I think is listening right now, has been awesome, by the way, and I can't thank her enough
for
being by my side. And, she's, just beautiful and awesome, and she's made this service possible. If you don't have a supportive family, you cannot serve in
politics. Did she vote for Sharice Davids to get you home?
I'm going to need you back home.
Yeah, so, no, I will tell you.
Kids don't put themselves to bed. Sharice Davids.
I do joke about that because I want to put Christmas lights up. She's like, no, too many people fall off ladders. And I'm just waiting. When your wife says, go put up Christmas lights,
What does that mean?
That's a euphemism for go fall off a ladder.
Go fall off a ladder.
Yeah.
Please.
But I would say, I leave you this anecdote. So I have my 5-year-old and 3-year-old, and I was trying to explain. They don't really, understand at all. And I just said, daddy lost his race, and they were trying to understand. I said, but daddy's happy because he worked really hard, and it's all about effort. It's not whether you win or lose. Yeah. You're trying to teach him these lessons. And so I said, I won 8 other races for that, and all the other elections. And so we lost the 9th, but that's okay. And I said, but, my oldest one's to Caroline, I said, someday maybe you could run for office and redeem the family name. And she looked at me, she's like, I'm not running for office, daddy.
Uh-uh.
And my 3-year-old Eloise was in the sink playing with some cups or whatever at this time. We were in the kitchen. And Eloise goes, I'll do it. I'll run for office someday.
Oh, bless her heart.
Right. And Caroline goes, Eloise, if you run for office someday, I'll cheer you on.
Oh,
how sweet is that?
That is so darling.
Isn't that darling? And that they understand what it means, sort of, that they would support each other. And
I love
so
it.
That's a good, for me, a good ending to the whole thing.
I love it.
So.
Right on. Congressman Kevin Yoder joining us in studio. Stick around. Your exit interview continues in just a moment. A couple more quick questions for you, and then we'll let you get going. 576-7798. If you have a question for the congressman, you're always welcome to text it into 22980. It's something that's happened to almost all of us, and knock on wood, happens to none of us in the future. But if you do find yourself in a car accident, whether it's a fender bender or, God forbid, something more serious, remember the name Dale's Body Shop in Blue Springs. They are the best in the business. I've been out there many times. Dale is a personal friend, and I've watched his crews at work. Their reputation's so good, they've had people drive in from Omaha, Columbia, you name it. That's how good they are. And at Dale's Body Shop in Blue Springs, their work is guaranteed as long as you own your car or truck. So get it fixed right the first time. Here's the number. It's 816-228-1855. That's 816-228-1855 or online at dalesautocollision.com. Dales in Blue Springs. Taking care of cars. Taking care of you. I don't know why every time Congressman Yoder comes in, it's almost the same playlist of late 80s pop rock rap. Hang on, let me get you my... It's over here.
We're all from the same era here, just so you know.
But you seem to know the words to all of these songs.
I hadn't noticed that.
It's hip to be square. I don't know.
It is hip to be square.
So you don't know what you're going to do?
I'm still working on it. I was thinking about a story that one of the cool things about about politics is that it's a citizens-driven process still. As much as we think it's all these insiders who have all the money, I mean, you have to remember, those people that are out there listening, I never had any financial backing. I put myself through college. I'm still paying my student loans. I've worked at Pizza Hut. I've worked at Applebee's. I worked odd jobs doing different things. My first job was actually like setting up election booths on election day back in my home county there in Reno County. And so I've done all sorts of stuff and worked hard. So it is a citizen process. If you're in the legislature, it's a citizen's legislature. I mean, it's for everybody. And I tell you, as I walk through the Capitol, I often look at the painting that John Trumbull painted of George Washington surrendering his commission. And if you remember this important moment, George Washington had
on the balcony. Right?
He had won the Revolutionary War. He could have been king, and they would have made him president for life. And he did 8 years, right? Two terms. I did 8 years in Congress. 8 years is good enough for George Washington. It's good enough for me. And he gave it up selflessly. And you think about our nation, how it could be different if we didn't have our founding leaders say that this is about the people, and it's so much about the people, it's not about us, that he was going to give up power. It never happened in America, or in world history, I mean. Usually you won the war, you became the king.
Yeah.
So I just think about that example and how we all have opportunities to do other things and that we serve for a period of life. So, and I also think about a speech Doug Mays gave. He was Speaker of the House in the Kansas legislature when I was there in 2000. 2 through 2006, he was the speaker. And there's a tradition in the Kansas House that the speakers only serve for two terms. There's no rule. There's no requirement. It's just a tradition. And if you look at other states, the Illinois speaker has been the speaker for 30 years. Like, they're speakers of the House, and they get too powerful, right? No one will cross them. They can't be defeated. And then it loses. It doesn't become about the people anymore. It becomes about someone who has the power. And I just remember Doug Mays giving this speech, and he said, when people wanted him to run for a third term, and I think he could have maybe, but he chose not to. And he got up and he said, I could run for a third term, I'm not going to. And he said, when I was a young married person, he said, I had a little ranch house in Topeka. He was a Topeka legislator. And he said, I was starting to hang gutters, and the house needed gutters. So I hung gutters on the first side of the house, and they were really crooked. And then I hung gutters on the second side of the house, and they were actually a little bit better. And the third side of the house, they were really good gutters. And by the fourth side of the house, the gutters were perfect, except now there were no more gutters to hang. I thought I was getting really, really good at this job towards the end. I really knew what I was doing. I knew the issues. I was in a leadership position. And now there's no more gutters to hang. And that's okay. My first gutters might have been a little crooked, but I was hanging them real nice at the end. And so I just think there's life metaphors at play here. And so I'm very content. I might run for office again someday, but more than anything, I'm looking to try to, be a normal American citizen and maybe start a business, maybe practice law, maybe do something in an association. There's all sorts of opportunities. Maybe I'll be a pundit. Maybe I'll be a radio host.
Oh, please do.
Yes. Maybe.
Oh, do you want to fill in?
I mean, this. I know these jobs look easy.
I don't know,
so.
Christmas Eve day or maybe Thursday or Friday.
The radio.
What are you doing on Christmas?
The radio doesn't go on Christmas,
I'm kidding,
does it?
You know we don't.
We don't go off the air.
You just play a replay.
That's right. Let's play best of
Festivus Friday. Hey, what's your grievance, everybody?
It's Christmas Day broadcasting with Kevin Yoder.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, we would love to have you back anytime.
Let me just say, it has been a blast coming in here in the studio all these years. You guys have been great. I think when I started, it was even the Shannon and Park show. I've been here with the two of you since you guys started. You've had me on a lot. It's given me an opportunity to talk to voters to hear from me. It's given you a chance to ask me questions. And we've had call-ins. We've done it all. We've seen a lot of history pass through here. And I know you guys have a great show. You're going to be here for a long time. And people really like listening to you. And whether it's talking to a U.S. congressman or whether it's doing Laverne and Shirley riffs.
Hello!
Or rap music on the intros. You guys keep us entertained, and it's been an honor to be part of that.
Thanks,
and I hope
man.
You'll have me back from time to time, and I can share with you my thoughts on the world.
Let me leave you with this question. Have you ever been to Dodge City, Kansas?
I have.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Every day in the mirror.
Have you ever been in? Have you ever been inside of a Turkish prison?
I have not.
Okay.
And on that note,
Congressman Kevin Yoder, thank you for your service. Thank you for your time. It's been an honor and a privilege. And
thanks to you. Thanks to everyone in the district who voted for me. And Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Happy
Let's
holidays.
Get to the newsroom. Here is Will Sterrett.
Happening now on KMBZ, sentencing on hold. More next.
Hey, I want to talk to all you out there struggling with snoring, sleep apnea, those bulky, awful, unpleasant CPAP machines. Here's why. They are necessary. They can be life-saving for those with severe obstructive apnea. But did you know 50% of CPAP users who are supposed to be using those things stop using the machines? I get it. I get it. I can see why. I want to talk to you if you are one of those folks. If you have a spouse that has stopped using it, please call Mark's Sleep Center. Mark's with an X. They will fit you for a simple treatment that is easy to fit over your teeth, gently realigns your airway, allows normal airflow to the lungs as you sleep. It is good for your health, and it's covered by most medical insurance plans. Think about when you travel, not having to haul that CPAP thing through airport security. Call Mark's Family Dental. Add a better night's sleep to your list of resolutions for your spouse. Call Mark's Sleep Center. They will fit you with that simple appliance that you will stick with. It's compact, comfortable, super easy to use, and so necessary if you have obstructive sleep apnea. 816-452-2000 is the number to call. 816-452-2000 or Mark's Family Dental. Remember the name, Mark's with an X. Go to markssleep.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.